Good morning. Today's reading is John 15, verse 1 to 17. It's headed up, the vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called upon you friends for everything that I have learned from my Father. I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other.
Jesus said, I am the true vine. And you know, this is one of the great I ams of John's gospel. I am who I am, as we probably know, is the declaration of God the Father, both past, present, and future. It echoes that time at the burning bush back in Exodus when God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. But I think of it as a statement. When something is I am always, it talks about I am in the past, I am in the current, the present, I am in the future. I will always be. The vine and the grapes were well-known sights in Israel. The vine said something. It meant something. It represented the people of God. God's people in God's place under God's rule. And you know, in morning prayers, they would often recite Psalm 80, which would say, you brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it. But the prophet Jeremiah had said that the vine was wild, it was rebellious, unhealthy, and into this setting, and I love the settings of all the I ams, into this setting, Jesus said, I am the true vine. The identity of God's people was no longer in a nation, but in a person. In the person of Jesus himself, the God-man. I am the true vine. Jesus succeeded where Israel failed. So this morning we are in God's orchard, waiting to hear what he has to say. And we are in the vine and amongst the branches. And you know, Jesus is speaking just before he goes to the cross. These are some of the very last words that he left with his people. And we ignore them, my friends, at our peril. To my mind, it seems a very strange time to be speaking about vines and branches and fruit. You'd have thought that there'd be much more important strategic decisions to be made. If he knew he was going to the cross next day, he would have known that there are other things, other more important things. But he's telling us in this passage some most important things for our lives. He is telling us that as there are conditions for good seed germination and growth, which are like water, good soil, sunlight, warmth, so there are conditions required for bearing fruit in your Christian life. I just want to look briefly at the opening verses and focus primarily on the latter verses. I'll explain that in a moment. But he says, I am the vine. This means I am the one that the sap will flow through into the branches. I am the one. I am the sap of the Spirit. You, if you're independent of me, you will never produce a big harvest. The branches receive their sustenance, their life, through the vine. And without that, they will die. And now, however we think about the Christian message, that is essential. That we are united with Christ by his Spirit. And then it says, you, or we, are the branches. And he says, be prepared for pruning to provide even a bigger harvest. Jesus will do whatever is necessary to increase the crop. God is the one who makes us truly fruitful. And then it says in verse 7, it says, let the word dwell in us, abide in us. Let's not just be casual visitors, but let's be, in a sense, serious about this matter. And let's eat and eat the word, love the word, delight in it. That's sort of a background to what I want to say. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a good cropper? A good what? A good cropper. Are you producing the right kind of fruit in your life? And what sort of crop is it? What is this fruit? What is the connection between the fruit and the vine? How much are you producing? Is it 30 times, 60 times, or 100 times? Are you bothered about it? Is it something that you think about? I want to spend time this morning to show you that as Christ related to Father God, we relate to Christ. As Christ related to his Father, we relate to Christ. And I think it's at the very essence of the Christian message. Because essentially, it's about relationship. There is an essential and critical point to learn throughout Scripture that there is this interconnectedness between Jesus, you, and fruitfulness. We can't bypass that. It's impossible. In other words, don't leave the vine. I want you just to stay with me on this thought. The Bible says that we were made, as it says in Genesis, in the image of God. And it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And I think this coincidence of terminology is purposeful. If we are to live godly lives, we can only do so through our relationship with Christ, connected to the vine. As I do Bible Explorer and I tell the Old Testament story by hand signs with the boys and girls in school, I tell them that man failed miserably without God. And yet Jesus succeeded perfectly in love, dependence, and obedience to his Father. If I say nothing else today of any particular meaning, we do need this sap of the vine to be in our hearts and our lives day by day as we face the troubles that you have mentioned in the service. My mum's just gone into a care home 2 or 3 days ago. I'm concerned about her. as we face the multiple issues that come up in life, we need this sap of the vine to be in our hearts and lives. So to be fruitful, we need somehow to get something of what Jesus himself knew in his life as a man. That is, the power of the Father who indwelled him through the Spirit. And our point of access is Jesus himself and no one else. John 5:19 is an amazing verse. The Son, Jesus, can do nothing of himself. He needs the Father in the same way Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And I want to briefly discuss with you four great gifts from this passage that God gives to those who stay in the vine, which will make you a good cropper, full of eternal fruit, that will send you from this place confident in the knowledge of God's purpose for you. And they are, in verse 11, my joy in you. In verses 12 and 13, my love for you. Verses 14 and 15, my friendship to you. And verse 16, my choice of you. My joy in you. And I won't spend a long time on each of these, I promise. But you know, have you ever come, you know, when you talk about joy, have you ever come to that place of contentment in all circumstances, like Paul, whether he was in need or had plenty? What I like doing is taking a good Bible concordance and often looking up a particular word. And you know, when you go into a concordance and you look up the words joy and rejoice and gladness and happiness and all of those sorts of words, you'll be surprised to discover the abundance of joy in the heart of God. We can so often get clouded by this idea of God being harsh and hard and almost despotic, and yet fail to revel in the joy of the Lord. Many of the Psalms talk about this joy. Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Peter was so swallowed up by God's great gift that he says he was filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Do you know, my friends, it's the thing that we would love, isn't it? In our lives, in our fellowship, in our family, in our school, or whatever it might be, in our jobs. And I believe that God will give that depth of joy to those who seek him. Even Jesus, who was heading towards Calvary, was able to reflect, it says, on the joy set before him. You think, how can that be? He's about to die, and yet he can see the joy. To know the joy of the Lord, we need to be found in the vine, because it is Jesus by his Spirit who produces it in us. We can't generate it ourselves. We cannot get ourselves into that place where we have that joy. It is the fruit of the Spirit. My love for you. We've said joy overflows, but what can we say about love? If joy is the expression, love is the goal. And I guess you here have sat through many love sermons describing the love, but here in this passage, we describe that this kind of love is not figurative or theoretical, but Jesus is predicting again his own self-sacrifice as tangible evidence of love's meaning. Verse 12 says, love each other as I have loved you. And it goes on to say, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has unmasked the nature and product of his love, that he would die, the perfect, the sinless, the righteous Son of God, for those he loved. And then he says, love each other the same way. And we say, we can't. It's impossible. We can't do it. But you know, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives within me. God has created us to be functional only by virtue of his presence. In a sense, that's the story, isn't it, of the Bible. that what Adam and Eve lost, God wishes us to regain the presence of God, his presence, the life of God in the soul of man. And we love him because he first loved us. Without being connected to the vine, we are but a weak imitation of the love which Christ expressed in his life when he washed the disciples' feet, when he destroys the works of the evil one, when he heals the sick and raises the dead, and supremely as he travels the Calvary path to the cross. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And then in verses 14 and 15, think of Jesus as your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. John recognizes our union with Christ means that we move from being servants to become friends. And this is expressed in terms of being given knowledge and understanding from God's word of the plans and purposes of God in this world. You've got to remember, once we were slaves and we were blind to what was going on. We were like the living dead and aliens and enemies. But you know, as we remain in the vine, the most amazing transformation takes place in our hearts and minds. What was once hidden, what was once mysterious, and we don't understand all things, becomes clearer. We read the word of God and we find that God is for us in Christ. He's for us, not against us. We read that his friendship is demonstrated in the self-sacrificing love. Friendship with Christ, the Saviour of the world, is enjoyed by those who are in the vine. Let's just experience the joy of knowing that the bankruptcy of our ignorance can be exchanged for the purposeful life God has set for us as friends. And finally, my choice of you. It's lovely, isn't it? Beautiful when you think that you here are not, you've been chosen. We struggle with this sometimes, with this clear and unequivocal statement that God chose us. We so often think that we are kind of the initiators of the relationship. Somehow we've gone forward or we've done something. But you know, one of the great doctrines of grace is election, because it starts with not one of us, not one deserving of anything other than a judgment, and ends with a great multitude from every nation, including people from Malawi, praise God, of tribe and people and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb and worshipping him. What did he choose you for? Well, I think what this passage says, to bear fruit of a certain kind, fruit which will last, eternal fruit. It's a great gift to be chosen for this, because we know as we journey through this life that we cannot stand before a holy God other than in filthy rags unless Christ himself represents us as one chosen. Jesus says, I have revealed your name, God's name, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me. This is the language of election. And you can read about many, many people in Scripture who were chosen. Paul, chosen to carry God's name to the Gentiles. Joseph, chosen after his eventful life to ensure the continuation of Jacob's family. He could say this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of lives. Queen Esther, when there was a plot by Haman to destroy the whole of the Jewish nation, could say, who knows, Mordecai could say, who knows that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Time and time, God chooses. And so we have joy, love, friendship, and God's choosing as the gifts that God has given us. But are they only this? I believe that they are at the same time both the gift and the product of our union with Christ. I in him, and he in me. That's profound, isn't it? I in him and he in me. And as we experience the love, the joy, the friendship, the choosing of Christ, as we stay in the vine, we end up fulfilling the great intention of Jesus, of being made in the image of the Lord Jesus, so that we can serve with our hands, walk with his feet, speak with his lips, see with his eyes, hear with his ears, think with his mind and love with his heart. So that to me, to live now is Christ. Finally, friends, what is fruit? I think it's all that gives glory to God through his life-giving power. It is him being both our strength and our goal. It includes all actions which God calls righteous. Now, it might be sharing a cup of water in Malawi or a piece of bread. But it's not just that. Sharing the good news of new birth with others. A word of encouragement to the faint-hearted. But my friends, it's whatever God has given you. We are all uniquely made. When you leave this place, you have roles and responsibilities both today and tomorrow as mothers and fathers, as workers tomorrow. You know, you might be an engineer, a nurse, a teacher, a social worker, or whatever. All of these things, if they are given over to God, they are blessed by him. It's anything which God himself initiates in us, which honors him. It's all that God puts his name to because it is of eternal worth. So, my friends, let us produce fruit of the eternal kind. Let us go away from here and bear much fruit, because that's why we are on this planet. That's why God has chosen us to go and bear fruit. Amen. Knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. Whilst we are on this planet, we sometimes see this quite almost dimly. But Father, I just pray as a result of what we've heard today that we will have that desire to stay connected to the vine. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the life and the resurrection and the life. That within this place, Lord, that we will love one another as you have loved us, and that we will recognize that way that we, in a sense, demonstrate your love in us by our response to one another. Lord, I pray for this place, this church, this community, that you will indeed bless them, Lord, and that they will have that desire as one, irrespective of anything that they might not see eye to eye on, but I'll have that desire to want to stay connected to you, the vine, and to feel and to experience that sap flowing through them, and that they will know your joy, the love, the friendship, and the choosing, that you have chosen them for a purpose. So, Lord, as we leave this place, will you just fill us with your Spirit? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.